Hello, my fans, friends. Welcome to the Rich Herring podcast feed, powered by Acast Plus. Thanks to everyone who's come to see the Can I Have My Ball Back tour so far. It's been going really well. I've got a 4-star review in The Standard, 4-star review in The Telegraph, who once called me the worst comedy experience of the year, so that's a turnaround. People have been coming, people have really been enjoying it, and it's getting better and better. The only gigs this week are both in Pocklington, the town I was born in, near York. There's a couple of tickets left for the evening show and a few more tickets left for the matinee, I think about 4:30. But love to see you there, Yorkshire. Pop along. Check richardherring.com/ballback/tour or richardherring.com/gigs to see if I'm coming near to you. There are tickets left for nearly every show in the tour. I think Norwich has sold out. And a couple of gigs in London could do with your support as well. Anyway, please listen to the podcast. Do spread the news about the podcast to your friends. Listen as much as you can. Numbers are slightly down, which may affect the future of this podcast. So just leave it playing, even if you're not in the room. Love you. Now sit back, relax, and enjoy whatever it is you're going to listen to.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Thanks for downloading this podcast, Richard Herring's Leicester Square Theatre podcast. Come on, you're cool. You call it Rahel Estepa, right? Rahel Estepa, yes, you do, because you're cool. My friend, my fan friend, saying it in a Southern Baptist preacher accent doesn't make it any more true. It is free, but if you want to help fund future projects on the internet, there is a chance to watch this on video at gofasterstripe.com/podcasts. So go there and download that. It's £3.50 an episode, or you can get all 10 podcasts from this series, including the Mac Fest one with Pappies, for just £15. If you can't afford to pay for it, if you don't want to pay for it, you don't think you see why you should. Why should you? Why should you pay for it? Then just please spread the word to your friends about this podcast. It'd be fantastic to get as many listeners as possible. I hope you enjoy the last podcast in the series. I'm sad. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Leicester Square Theatre. Welcome a man who, according to this Ouija board, is going to have sex 2 more times before he dies. It's Richard Herring. Thank you. Hello. Did a little dance there for the people with the videos. Welcome to the Leicester Square Theatre. My name's Richard Herring, and this is Richard Herring's Leicester Square Theatre podcast, or as all of the cool kids are calling it, Rahel Estepa. Wow, fantastic, you're learning. You're much better than last week's audience, hey? Hey? Wow, what stuff's happened in the news this week that hasn't happened yet? Hey, oh, it's been amazing. I can't believe that someone else has died. I'm going to just take a punt. I think Prince Philip and Nelson Mandela are still okay. That's my punt. If I'm wrong, sue me. I don't think I've got anything else on there that I was going to talk about. The thing I saw last week was I was walking down the road in Shepherd's Bush in the middle of the day, and you know those advertising hoardings that are on like a truck, they go along and the truck is just adverts. They had a cartoon. It's for Paddy Power. Have you seen this advert of a lion fucking a kangaroo and then saying, "We didn't think it would be this tight." Or we thought it'd be tighter than this, I think is what they said. And the lion's looking a bit bored and the kangaroo's looking slightly distressed. That's an advert. They can't put that. I mean, I am disgusting, and I say some awful things within the confines of this theatre. There are some children here in the front row, but they make the decision to come here and see this. But I kind of was quite offended by that. I thought it's sort of an interspecial rape was going on. That's used to advertise things now. It's about the British Lions and also the test, I think, as well. The Australians are kangaroos, right? And we're lions. They're wallabies, but there was a kangaroo, definitely was a kangaroo in this instance. So you know, it's the national symbol of Australia, Jamie Foxx. But apparently in Australia, it's the other way around. If you fly into the airport there, there's a picture of a kangaroo fucking a lion. And that's advertising a betting firm that I believe is owned by the same company that owns Paddy Power. So it's like they've tried to set up a war. They're trying to get us fighting against each other. Going, look, have you seen that kangaroo fucking our lion with its bifurcated penis? I know it. Is it in the vagina and the anus at the same time? They're trying to whip us up, make us furious, and we mustn't fall for it in order to make us bet on things. But also, they were paying out for the tests already, for the rugby tests. And that was the day before Australia then beat the British Lions. So they looked a bit fucking stupid. If I ran a betting shop, I would only pay out once the events had happened. That is the first rule of betting, running a betting shop. Let's see who else we've got here. There's a man, looks like he's eating a sandwich of some kind during... Can you see him chewing it? What are you eating? Pringles? Pringles, then they've been to court, Pringles, because they were trying to prove they weren't crisps. And they got away. First, this is true. I was reading about this in the paper. They went to court, and then the court agreed that Pringles aren't crisps. I don't know what they are. I don't know what they are if they aren't crisps. But then they went back to court, and they are crisps. But that's. Have you heard about the lawyers? Have you heard about that case? No. Well, what the fuck have you been doing at university? Get working on the crisps. Are Pringles crisps? Who would say Pringles were crisps? Cheer now. Yeah. Who thinks Pringles aren't crisps? Cheer now. Well, it was a vast majority. We could have saved us... If they'd just come to the Leicester Square Theatre podcast and asked us, we could have saved them a lot of money and time. And you're going to be a very rich man. He's a lawyer. You're going to be a lawyer when you grow older. Are you wearing tights? Is it just the light? Just wearing shorts? Yeah. You're going to become a lawyer?
No.
What are you going to do with your law degree? This is from last... He's coming again from last week. He enjoyed it so much. He's come back. He's wearing the same clothes, skank. What are you going to do with your law degree?
Just
stay at university, getting off with ever younger girls. Well, you'll be getting older. They'll be staying the same age. That's the way it works at university. Go to sociology. They're thick in sociology. Don't do whatever you say. You're a very good looking young man. Well done. I think we'll crack on after that. Again, abusing my audience in that. How are the Pringles? Are they all right?
Very good.
Why are you eating crisps in the front or not crisps in the front row, depending on your... Why are you eating crisps? What?
It's your favourite snack they sold.
Yeah. What's wrong with when you eat before you came out here? What's your name?
I also ate.
You also ate before you came out? Get a bit peckish, don't you?
Yeah.
Sometimes. What's your name?
Ewan.
That's nice. He's got a nice smile. Look at his nice smiling face. Look at that. Oh, looks like a kind of Vulcan or something. What do you do for a living, Ewan?
I'm the services director for a software company working in London Market Insurance.
You're a services director for a services beginning insurance. Yeah, how's that going? Yeah, it's all right. You can see, look, you're affording those Pringles. That's a whole, just for himself, a one-person thing of Pringles. Are you together, you two, or is he... Well, you bought Pringles as well? Your mates. Yeah, I mean, I'm not saying, you know, are you together? It's good that I think the two... Have you ever thought about having sex with them when you got different flavoured Pringles, you could mix those together, then use the tubes for whatever you wanted afterwards? You should think about it. Don't discount. You know, he's a good-looking, slightly odd... I mean, it's nice when you can let people at home. Look, he's slightly... You know, he's good-looking, but there's something slightly odd about him. You are good-looking. Just straight down the line, bang, good-looking, and there's a... I thought it was a handkerchief in your top pocket, but it's your sunglasses neatly tacked away there. It's good. I put mine up on my head there. That's what I do with my... Anyway, that's going nowhere. So... I think I've whipped you up into a state of excitement. So will you please welcome a man he is best known. He played the tapir in Robbie the Reindeer, Close Encounters of the Herd Kind. He's the second of our guests to appear. Russell Brand was also in that, and that's what Russell Brand is also best known for. Will you please welcome Sean Hughes, ladies and gentlemen, from Robbie the Reindeer. Yay!
This was in your toilet. It's mango mist.
Yeah, I saw that myself. It's a bit. Well,
I'd rather someone just went, I just did a big shit, rather than someone going out and you go, have you just been eating mangoes in there?
It's odd. I did see this myself. This is the air freshener for the toilet, which is needed in that dressing room.
Well, no.
That dressing room, the toilet is right by the...
ensuite, they call it.
Well, it's ensuite, but it's right basically in the dressing room. In fact, Mark Thomas, I don't think he's told you this story on the podcast, but last week he told me backstage that when he'd done a charity gig here, Harry Shearer had been on with his wife from The Simpsons and Spinal Tap. And they'd got that number one dressing room, which it makes it sound like it's fantastic. It's quite small.
There's another dressing room.
And there's two more dressing rooms on this side. And everyone else had to go in those two. But Mark Thomas really needed to do a shit. And there were people in the toilets there. So before Harry Shearer arrived, he snuck into the toilet that this was in. Harry Shearer's probably insisted this goes in there. It's probably why it's there. And then as he was in the toilet, Harry Shearer and his wife arrived in the dressing room, not knowing he was in the toilet. And he was sitting in the toilet. Thinking, what do I do?
Somebody's eating mango in there.
But would you come out if he chose to come out? They were a bit surprised to find a man in their toilet.
But it's one of those things that you have to come out at some point, so you might as well just front it. Yeah.
Mango mist. I don't want my shit covered up by it's a weird mango mist.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
The mist bit is what gets me.
Well, I don't mind something like lavender or something, but not a food. You know, that's my only problem.
It's okay going,
As if you're not allowed to eat mango in the kitchen. Just going, I'm fucking sneaking upstairs, have some mango. I'm not allowed.
Well, it's good that you brought that on because I am a little flatulent. So if you see me spraying that, you will know what's happened.
I'm also glad we didn't do the shaking. Because I love the Graham Norton show on telly.
Yeah.
But I just hate that when all the guests come on and then all hug each other at the gig. You were just fucking backstage. You all said hello to each other. And I like the fact that you just go, just sit down.
Sit down.
I saw you backstage. Just sit there and start.
I'll give you a hug at the end if you're good.
Cheers.
If I don't hug you at the end, you'll know it's not.
It's like the Johnny Carson, don't invite the guest over. Yeah, okay.
I just shun you and walk away. Do you remember much about...
Johnny Carson?
No,
oh, yes.
Robbie the Reindeer, Close Encounters of the Herd Kind? Because we've discussed this once with Russell Brand.
Well, yeah.
Who didn't remember much about it.
Well, no, it was one of those things where I remember you kind of just go to a recording studio and I think I had about six lines or something. And they said, would you mind doing 15 other characters? And I said, and without telling me, I said, if you could do Scottish for him. And I said, I can't fucking do accents. And I'm an idiot there kind of going, ooh-kee-boo-hoo. And again, yeah, maybe you shouldn't do that one. And I ended up just trying to do stupid voices. But I don't know. People just assume to go, well, he's a comic. He must be able to do loads of stuff. I don't know. My skill set is to be depressed about life, and that's all I can do.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
I'm hoping to get the whole cast of Robbie the Reindeer, Close Encounters of the Herd Kind, on over the course of this.
Well, that's the weird thing when you I wasn't expecting that, but weirdly, I did a kids' film years ago with Ricky Tomlinson called The Greatest Store in the World. And if you've got kids love this film. But now, because it was about 15 years ago, now I meet people who are 20 and go, oh, I'm a big fan of your work. And I go, so what show have you seen when you were the elf in that film? And you're thinking they love your comedy, but people just love you from being an elf. So
I once played the voice of a spider in a BBC educational programme. I wrote the script and then I said, can I be the spider? And then I did record it all, the spider going up into a plug hole and stuff. And then apparently the tape went wrong, and they got someone else to do it. The tape went wrong, and they didn't then go, do you want to come back in and do it again? Because the tape went wrong.
But you
they
wrote
went,
it,
the,
though.
They went, the tape. Well, I wrote it, and then I did it. And then they went, oh, the tape went wrong, but someone else is going to record. I think the tape didn't go wrong. Sure. I think they didn't like my personification of the spider.
If you're the writer, you could say, no, I'm doing it, or you're not getting the script.
No, because it was already there. I'd given the scripts in.
I had one of my most embarrassing things. I did another TV thing... It was Rubber Dubbers. Has anyone heard that, Rubber Dubbers? Yeah, and again, it's for preschool and it's bath time. It's a really good show. But I remember, like, what? Not for you, but it's just, you know. I don't have to contextualise everything. You wouldn't enjoy it, but no, because I remember very much going in, because I was told, oh, they want to meet you to do this part, and I just went, you know, it's like a kid's thing. I said, I'm not that bothered, and I was really hungover and didn't do any prep at all, and I went in and they wanted me to read for this character, and I started reading for it, and they were really sweet, and they gave me the best acting note I've ever had in my life. So I read it, and they just went, oh, that's not really great. In fact, none of that made any sense, actually. Could you speak English? Oh, yeah, okay. But then they said to me, says, look, this is for children who are two. You're speaking from your head. Can you speak from your heart? Because they'll really love that. And I just went, oh, my God, what a brilliant note. And I said, yeah, okay. And I took a few minutes, and then I redid it. And they didn't realise their mic was still on, so I did it with all my heart. And the one guy just turned to me and went, I didn't notice anything different there, did you? And I wasn't supposed to... And I just went... I just wanted to go, fuck you. I didn't want to do this job in the first place. But I got the job in the end, and I only told them that a year later after doing it. But oh God, that was really the most, like, that was like, that's worse than any heckle I've ever had in my life. I must tell you, actually, just talking about heckles, my favourite heckle ever now is in Edinburgh last year. I went to see this show, which was really rubbish, and I just left after 5 minutes, and the guy who runs it, a guy, Rupert, you know, who runs things for the BBC. Yeah. So it was a BBC thing, but just the show wasn't any good. And I just left and I was talking to Rupert about how rubbish it was. And then this multiple sclerosis guy came out with his wheelchair and his carer, fuming. And he was just going... And I was just thinking, like, most people could just go, oh, that was a shit show. But he really wanted to make a lot of effort to tell you it was shit. And when all his heart, he goes, dumb fucking shit! And he was telling me, and I said, oh, well, Rupert actually arranged this. You should talk to him. And Rupert just didn't know how to deal with a guy like that. So I mean, he was like Woody Allen and Broadway down the road, going, any tickets for any show? I swear you can have that. And then this guy, he was a lovely guy, actually, and he came to see my stand-up show the next night. Yeah. And obviously he's in the front, because that's where people in wheelchairs are. And I said, oh, do you mind if I tell you that story about it? So I told that story, and he laughed. But then he gave me the best heckle ever. Just went, I said, and he said that. And he, at the end of the story, he just went, that wasn't me! And every time I tell a story, people just go, yeah, but was it though? And because, yes, it was. So even now, every time people just go, they're thinking, but was it though? He got me. What a brilliant guy, I tell you.
I once had a shameful experience for myself in the change rooms at a gym. I go to the gym, Sean. You seem to not believe that when we were backstage.
I just wanted to ask.
And I came out and already had a bit of a weird experience. And I'd seen this guy in the swimming pool. And it's like they had a class for... like usually it's like middle-aged women who go and dance in the pool, you know, the aqua aerobics.
It's called aerobics,
yeah. Yeah, and this guy was there, but he was
going, hey, he wasn't great. This guy just loved dancing anywhere.
This guy was doing it all wrong. He just seemed to be staring at the women, and I thought he's a bit weird. He's just gone there to not even pretend to do the thing, and he's just gawping at all the middle-aged women in there, which is also slightly an acquired taste. And I came into the changing rooms and to the showers, and as I walked past the showers, there was another guy in the showers with the door open, standing facing outwards. So he's showering facing outwards, which is quite weird.
Yeah, yeah.
With a tumescent, either a very large penis or a tumescent penis.
I thought you were going to say either a very large penis or a very small body.
So I was slightly shaken up because this guy, and I was just in the showers on the next one down on my own, and this guy had obviously wanted me to see his penis, and I was, you know, I didn't mind, I had a look. I wasn't that interested. And then the other guy
did
came,
you tell him? Not that interested now.
And then the guy from the swimming pool came in, and I was sort of shaken up by this thing that was coming out, and then he said...
Shaken up? Are you slightly exaggerating?
I was shaken up by being in the showers. I thought this guy might be coming into the shower and get me.
Right.
And then the other guy
This
came
was in, the prison gym. Yeah.
And the other guy came out of the swimming pool, and then he said, I've got multiple sclerosis. Will you take my swimming trunks down for me? So that I can
You fell for that one.
But I didn't. I didn't fall for it. I was really, again, I was more shaken up. I just went, oh, no, no, and then kind of walked off. And then felt terrible because the guy clearly did have multiple sclerosis and he'd bravely come out to the gym on his own. And then he couldn't do this thing. And I've been, and you know, I do lots of work for Scope and I should be...
You don't mention it much,
I
though.
Should be, I've raised like £250,000 for them. Still haven't got a... If I gave you £250,000 and you had free parking passes, you'd give me one of those.
Yeah,
you had an unlimited amount. I said, look,
as long as you can live with yourself, that's fine. There's...
So I felt very embarrassed. But then I think he put me in. I think that's an odd situation. It's a bit of an odd situation to be in, isn't it?
The reason I don't go to the gym is...
because of that.
Well, yeah. That would make me stop going on a weekly basis. But I don't go because the gym I went to was... I might as well say who it was. It was Chaz from Madness. And he went to the same gym. And he's like that guy. He likes to just hang out naked. And I just go, no, it's to take your clothes off and to put them on. This is not just a nudist colony, and I don't really like gyms at the best of time. But I went in there, and Chaz was in there at one time, and I've never really gotten over this. But he was in there drying his ass hair with a hairdryer.
Yeah.
And I there was no warning. I just didn't know. And there was quite literally going, hey, how you doing? Do you have a nice swim? And I just went, no, I'm never coming back.
And I haven't seen. I don't think I've ever seen any member of Madness doing that, but I have seen other people doing that. And I'm putting like...
It would have been all right if he was going, our house, you know, but... there was none of that.
My arse in the middle of my... buttocks.
Put your baggy trousers on, you... Show off.
It does make you feel, even though the hairdryer still hasn't touched the anus hair, it still makes you feel it's kind of contaminated, doesn't it? Even though the hairdryer's going in that direction, feels like some of the arse...
No, I wasn't even going to...
...vapors will have come...
I wasn't going to use the hairdryer. It was just a disgusting thing to see. Yeah, that's going to be my rape spray in the gym.
It is odd that people would do that in the open. But I've seen guys put like the hand, you got this hand moisturizer there sometimes. And just guys coating their entire body and buttocks openly in the public bit. Everywhere.
I just like, that's why I'm not in any shape because I really don't like nudity at all.
Right.
And I went to Barrett's once to it was like a weekend of like, you know, chilling out with, you know, kind of massage type thing, like all health induced stuff, but I can't speak a word of French, so I went into this room and this woman obviously started speaking French and I was going, what? And I didn't know what the treatment was. It was some kind of like, you know, relaxing water based thing, and she's saying to me, and I'm going, what? And then she went, oh, and then just got a hose and started like a riot policeman just flinging against walls, like which I think you need a bit of warning for that kind of stuff. And like, she might just be, I'm just going to take the piss out of this guy. Because I couldn't go to the people and go, we can't speak English. Is that supposed to happen? But anyway, that's so. Yeah, I don't like. That's what all I'm saying is I don't like to be nude in any situations. And I had to. I did that film Cocoon, you know, the Spike Milligan film.
Yeah.
I played him in that. And I had to do a nude scene in that. And it was ridiculous. It was basically, I just do a scene. And it was quite a nice line, so I didn't mind. But it's the day of my wedding, so I'm just wearing a top hat and completely naked. And I just go, she's getting value for money. And she's not, because I'm not that well endowed, to be fair. But and like, the thing is, it wasn't a sex scene, so I'm the only one in the whole production naked. And they had an extra who was playing my father. And so he had to come in and go, whatever my name in the film, like, all right, Stan, are you ready? And that was his line. And he kept on calling me Sean. So we did 15 takes. I'm like, I'm fucking naked here. just get it right. So, but you kind of...
He must have been distracted by your news.
No, I don't think so. No.
But you weren't that guy in my gym. Definitely not if you weren't well endowed. You had a massive...
Yeah, but I just think that could have been in your mind as well. Like, he probably wasn't that well endowed.
Why was he? Why would
Maybe
you shower with the door?
This, like that,
why just... would you shower with the door open? And why would you shower your back to the shower? No one does that. That's you only doing that in the hope that a man will come past and go, "Ooh, hello."
Yeah, that's just someone who's watched quite a bit of porn.
Yeah,
that says that. No.
And then we'll be slightly disappointed by a fat Somerset man coming in. Can you pull down? I can't even pull down my own trunks in this porn film. You have to pull them down for me. Oh dear. Anyway, yeah, that was so that's
Close Encounters of the Herd Kind covered then. I think that's where that came from. I know this is very exciting. Your first TV show, Sean Show.
Yeah.
Victor Maguire was in that show.
Yeah.
From he plays Ron in Good Night Sweetheart.
Well, yeah, he was in Bread as well.
He was in Bread. I'm not interested in Bread. That wasn't it. There was no time travel element. Did you ever challenge Victor Maguire about the inconsistencies in time travel? In good, it was about the same time. He was probably working on Goodnight Sweetheart.
Yeah,
and
no,
across
that's,
to
that's
you.
Exactly what you just thought. That I would have had to have been in a time travel situation myself to ask him. Because that was much later.
It was 1993 was when Goodnight Sweetheart started, and you also. That's when Sean Show also started. 1993.
Well, no, he did it after that, so I couldn't have asked him. So I would have been a right old fucking. Hey, I can. Hey, Vic, the future. Yeah.
Did you ever ring him up after you saw Goodnight Sweetheart and what? Say, Victor, why? Why is Gary Sparrow? Well, sometimes things change.
I didn't see it. What happened?
Sometimes, well, I've got, you know, we haven't got the whole podcast to talk about.
No, but
Good
no.
Night, Sweetheart.
What was your problem with it?
Well, sometimes he would go. Gary Sparrow would come back to the past. And then when he went to the future, things would have substantially changed. Sometimes he changed things, and nothing really changed.
What in his personal life?
He has a son, and then he meets his son in the future, and his life's terrible. So he goes back to the past again and changes loads of stuff, and then his son's successful. It's played by Ian Lavender, Dad's Army fame.
Yeah.
He's shaking in his boots with the curse of Dad's Army, surely about to get to him. If Ian Lavender has died this week, I that was not. It was recorded before his death. Just because I nearly predicted the death of Mick Ashton from Time Team. It got close, very close. It doesn't matter.
You were disappointed.
It doesn't. I'm bored of Goodnight Sweetheart, but it should.
But you used to watch it, though.
I love it. I watched it a bit. I used to watch it a bit, but then I started watching it in the ITV3 repeats, which is weird because it was a BBC show.
What, recently?
Show, right? Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay. It's on all the time. I used to watch every... it's on about 5 o'clock every night, and I used to watch it. I got through about three circles of it, and then someone gave me the DVD box set, so I don't need to.
Well, I think that's quite sweet that you like that.
Well, I don't like it, I hate it.
So it's,
but I think it's a missed opportunity. I think it could have been like the Life on Mars of the 1990s, but then they do this stupid sort of fast sitcom.
Inconsistencies.
And it's inconsistent. And Nicholas Lyndhurst, who I hope to get as a guest one day on this podcast, is fucking shit, isn't it?
Well,
I want to get him on so I can go, Nicholas Lyndhurst, why the fuck? You are so badly miscast.
Yeah, but he's one of those actors that insists when he does interviews of doing... it's like when you see those soap actors, like your woman who played Pat Butcher.
Yeah.
Every time she does an interview, she puts on a really posh accent to just show what a good actress she is. Going, hey, yes, when I played Pat, it was... and you go, no, you're acting now. Pat is you. And I think Nicholas is the Rodney, isn't he?
He is Rodney.
Yeah, and then he's acting all the rest of the time. Because he does always play really posh or everything else.
Yeah, when
he
plays posh, and he's meant to be so sexy that, you know, all these women fancy him. But it's Nicholas Lyndhurst. But, you know, he puts on these 1940s suits and they just sort of hang off him like he's a... Rack.
He must be about 60 now. Everyone's still. See, but that's the. Because Only Fools and Horses is so popular. People. Because I get it all the time. And I don't know if you do. If you were on telly, you're not on telly as much. People. Like, you know, if you meet a relation and stuff, you'll be thinking, I'm fucking have to put on a bit of weight. But you don't say to them, but because people. They come up to me. I go, you seem to have put a bit of weight on the last 30 years. And I'm sure people go to Nicholas Lyndhurst going, fucking hell, you look a bit old, don't you? He's not 18 anymore, he's 70. Rodney's here, he's 70.
You should always carry a mirror around with you because these people don't realise that you've got to go look at yourself. They go, I have also aged, no!
But you get that much, though?
People look a bit cheeky. But, you know, I was fatter when I'm cutting back to. I was fatter when I was on TV, then I got kind of thinner, and I sort of go up and down. So people go, "Oh, you've got fat, or you've got thin," like quite a lot of the time. So it's kind of I'm confusing, I'm like a kind of Barber Papa figure,
like a new time travel, isn't it?
New shmoo figure. Yeah, you know what I'm talking about, audience. One person. That's why I don't want two people knowing what I'm talking about.
What is a new
shmoo? Don't remember the new shmoo.
Is that another sitcom?
No, it's a cartoon from the 1970s that only I and a very select group of people recall.
There was never a Shmoo show. So it was, but it was the new Shmoo show. It's like they'd, I don't know if in America there'd been a Shmoo show and they gone, this isn't quite working out.
But what was it?
There's the new Shmoo. It was a bit like a little Barber Papa. You remember Barber Papa?
No, you're just making a lot of this shit up. What? No, I remember
the little thing that went, and it was little white, sort of, it looked like a cock and balls, basically, like a white cock and balls.
That sounded like Johnny Lydon's new album. I remember from my childhood the programmes were Shang-a-Lang.
Yeah, my sister liked that. Because you're a little bit older than me.
What, 6 months?
Yeah. So you're a big Bay City Rollers fan.
Yeah, that like that kind of 6 months when they were big and then they just disappeared, didn't they? Yeah. That's, and Hong Kong Phooey.
Oh, I liked Hong Kong Phooey.
Yeah, but everyone quicker than the human eye.
That's no good because everyone remembers it. New Shmoo. What about Rocket Robin Hood, everyone? This is what you've got to be aiming for, Sean. This is the future of comedy. Don't go Hong Kong Phooey. Oh, yeah, I remember. I remember. No, fucking get them and get them with something none of them know. Alias the Jester, half the people. See more people. No, but that's too many. That's too many to make a successful joke.
Are these all kids' programs?
Yeah.
Because also, I was brought up in Ireland, so we didn't actually have television. No, because seriously, we just had the Irish television. When we got the English channels, we used to call it the pipe. Quite literally, people go, "We got the pipe." And not to say, pipe television was when you start getting like. And the worst thing was we used to get from BBC Northern Ireland, and we had nothing to do with Northern Ireland, like, you know. And what was worse is I'm a big football fan, and what you don't realise is when you get the BBC from Northern Ireland, when the football results come on, and I support Crystal Palace, so obviously when on a Saturday on BBC Northern Ireland after the Premier, well, it was Division One then, when those results come, they just cut to the Northern Ireland results, and so you're going, I wonder how Palace did, and then it's going, you know, it's going Arsenal 2, Leeds, and hey, welcome to BBC Northern Ireland, Glentoran 2. I go, I don't fucking care about Glentoran. And we used to have to listen to their local news all
is
the time.
Is that mainly what caused the troubles?
Mostly.
Only they'd given
Division
yeah. 2.
That was the big bulk of it, and cheaper petrol. Which affected even petrol bombs to a degree.
Yeah. Well, he didn't. What is he like in real life, Victor Maguire from Goodnight Sweetheart? Is he like Ron from Goodnight Sweetheart? Or is he different?
Well, I didn't see that programme.
Well, I know, but
he didn't travel in time, but he was
he the kind of bloke that if you could travel in time,
oh, geez,
you would be able to take advantage of his goodwill quite a lot. And he would happily print up money and stuff and help you have sex with someone in the 1940s. Or would he be different in real life? Would he be different than
that? There's no point in me getting the boxer. You've ruined all those plots. He was a lovely guy.
Yeah.
He was one of the when we cast, he was one. The second he came in, we just went, yeah, he's got the part straight away. So,
he's a very funny guy.
Very natural.
He was too good for Goodnight Sweetheart.
I think everyone was
quite
good.
No, they weren't. Many of them weren't, especially the replacement women were not good enough. They were not too good for Goodnight Sweetheart. In the third, fourth series, they changed Derv Kerwin and. Emma Amos, no, she was the one who changed. I can't remember the original actress's name. They changed them for different actresses, but you'd have to be who would go and take over those roles that were defined by Elizabeth Carling and Emma Amos are the answers to that question.
Amos was in it.
Yeah,
oh, because
she was good, and I like Derv Kerwin. If I could go, I'm writing a sitcom about a man who lives now, who is obsessed.
Like
with good,
it,
who's obsessed.
It's good, I like it. Is there any commissioners in? A Man Who Lives Now. That's recommissioned the second series. It'll be the future then, but I like it.
But he's obsessed with Goodnight Sweetheart, but he hates Goodnight Sweetheart, but he's obsessed with it.
Right.
And it starts taking over his life. And then he goes
starting to lose some of the sheen already now.
And then he goes to the Duckett's Passage, which is where they could travel through time.
And you're out of the office now.
He goes through there.
The BBC shows you where the car park is.
He goes back to the set of Goodnight Sweetheart. So to begin with, he fancies Derv Kerwin, but once she moves on, he then changes over to Emma Amos. But also, there's a question. In mine, it will be a psychological thriller. And many of these people are bored, because a couple of weeks ago, I did explain this in great detail to Edgar Wright, the film director, hoping he would immediately go... fuck, I have to make this film. I just assumed he would drop his microphone and go, look, stop the podcast, Rich. I have to make this film. Fuck the rest of Simon Pegg and Nick Frost. I have to make Good Night, Sweetheart. Good Night, Sweetheart. Good Night, Sweetheart. I was either going to call it Good Night, Sweetheart, Sweetheart. Or what was it? The E17 song. Stay Another Day. Say, that was a great title. But then in my version, the man isn't sure whether he's gone mad because he was so obsessed with Goodnight Sweetheart already. Right. And then for he's imagining all of the Goodnight Sweetheart stuff.
You know, I stopped listening about 2 minutes ago.
So what? Do you think Victor Maguire?
Really? I'm serious.
Do you think Victor Maguire would be in the film?
Yeah, absolutely. Without a shadow of a doubt.
Because he's good.
And Dervla and...
Well, I don't know if Dervla would, because she wouldn't even be in some of the series.
She was in the. She was in the. So
she wouldn't go in this spin-off.
She was in the kids' film that I did. That was the greatest store in the world.
Yeah.
And because have you worked with Ricky Tomlinson?
She wasn't in Close Encounters of the Herd Kind, was she? Because then I'd have to have her on the show to interview. That is my new Dave Gorman style show. I'm going to do get the whole cast. It's more like Justin Lee Collins. It's something like Justin Lee Collins would do, isn't it? The kind of thing he would do.
Well, he...
So, that's what I aspire to do. The kind of thing. You were in 89 episodes of Nevermind the Buzzcocks.
Was it that many, yeah?
Yeah.
Right.
According to the database thing, IMDb. Okay. Weren't you tempted to go for the 100? Bill Bailey did exactly 100 episodes.
Did he?
And then he quit. I don't know if he did that deliberately.
Well, I couldn't have done that, because I gave him a series notice that I was quitting. Yeah. So I couldn't say, well, I'll come back for another 11. Or even the one to make it the 90. No, like it was fun, but like it was one of the first... panel shows before panel shows became quite sickening, really. But it was, but we were kind of doing the same show every week, and yeah. You know, so
I'd hate to be in that situation, wouldn't you? It would really fuck me off if that just became my life. Same story every week,
and it was just that thing of like, I thought I was old then, like you know, 35, just pretending I like Bon Jovi and stuff. And I couldn't believe it, like, because people would go, how do you know the intros to every song? I go, fucking don't. They show me them just before I go on. As if, like, I'm going, yeah, I just thought, like, I know the intro of every song ever. I wonder what's on the car. Whoa, that's not even lucky. I knew them anyway, no matter what they were. But I used to do that thing of, to try and keep it real, you know, is by being quite lazy and still not doing any work into it. So they do the intros and I'd be going, oh, something like, da, da. And they go, it's not, stop the recording. Could you go back and listen to it again? And then do it. But it was, it was a lot of fun, but
didn't it annoy you, the title of the show? It's a very bad title. And also, it's Buzzcocks, not the Buzzcocks. Then the band is called Buzzcocks.
Yeah, we so get annoyed never, about different
if you were
going
to do it. If you're going to call it that, it doesn't make sense anyway. Well, never mind the bollocks sort of thing. So why never mind the Buzzcocks? Doesn't make sense. But if you're going to do it, it's never mind Buzzcocks.
Yeah, but it was a hybrid, wasn't it?
It's not. It doesn't make sense. It's a rubbish title. I would have. I'd have walked out there and then. I've said either that title goes or I go.
But you were a guest on it, weren't you?
I have done it. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't remember you.
I don't remember you
kicking up a fuss.
I forgot. They said it's £1,000. I went, all right.
I tell you what's slightly annoying is I don't like that cheese guy from Blur. And now they're re-showing, they're re-showing old clips of the Buzzcocks on telly now.
They are,
and so he's part of my life, and I don't like that at all. He's over, like he's voice-overing some of my life.
Yeah.
And that's kind of mean. Because I didn't want him to have anything to do with my life. I went out of my way so that wouldn't happen. And now he says my name on television.
Yeah, he said my name on television the other day.
It's frightening,
I was excited because he makes cheese and stuff. Well, that bloke who's made cheese, he's also said my name.
Yeah, but...
And he's, you know, sung on, played music on some of the Blur songs.
See, I would have had respect for him if he went off and did make cheese and you never heard of him again, except for if you were at a cheese fair. But he isn't. He just wants to be famous. And I just thought, it's none of my business, but why do you want to be famous? For just being famous.
Yeah.
Cheese. I'm allergic to cheese as well, so maybe that's.
You're not like you're allergic to cheese?
Yeah, when I eat cheese, my.
News headlines.
My cheeks start.
You start
sweating.
Crying when you say, I'm allergic. I want to eat some cheese once.
Right. And then. Ask me a question and I'll break down.
Okay. How, what's wrong? What's the problem with cheese?
Oh, Jesus Christ. I love cheese, but I can't live without it. Oh, I'm going to kill myself.
Zoom in on that. Would you say your problem with cheese has ever tried to make you kill yourself in any way?
I think if I if you gave me an extremely strong blue cheese, I probably would die.
Right.
And it would be, you know, if I kind of accepted the challenge, it would be suicide.
Yeah. Don't do what Chris Addison keeps blue cheese in a cupboard rather than in a fridge. And we talked about this the other week. It seems so long ago now. And we ate it every night in Edinburgh, and I basically started hallucinating like I was on magic mushrooms. And we realised after that was because it hadn't been properly stored. And so it nearly did kill me.
You have to keep it in the fridge.
We better keep cheese in the fridge, yeah, really, ideally, rather than the cupboard, like we live in the 15th century.
Well, in the fridge.
But if you put it in the fridge, you'll be fine.
Okay.
You'll be fine. You've done lots of...
I see them at farmers markets. They're not in the fridge.
But you can keep it out of the fridge for a little while. Like, for example, when you're eating it, you have to get down like some kind of small mammal, gnawing it in.
So... when you get home tonight, what will your snack be? That, you know, if you were going for a snack at home?
Probably either sometimes have a little bagel at night time.
That's pretty much like time travel in itself. That's a morning food.
I wouldn't say so. I think it's very nice. A bit of Marmite on a bagel.
Very much a morning food, a bagel.
I quite like, if I have all the stuff in, what I really like to have...
Stuff in for a bagel.
Well, I need a bagel, I need some butter, I need some Marmite.
I've had the bagel and I'm going to write that sitcom about a guy who lives now. Don't disturb me, love.
It's very rare I have all these things. An apple and some pickled onions, that is the perfect supper.
An apple?
Yep. If you put all those things together, fucking bliss. Got to be a nice multi-seed bagel. Right. But Weetabix, otherwise. Weetabix,
yeah.
Have Weetabix when they get to...
We used to, in Dublin when we were kids...
A few Weetabix fans at the back there. Yeah, that's why I am.
Absolutely. There was... When we lived in Dublin, we used to have Spanish students come over to learn English. It wasn't like... None of us went to Spain, by the way. I never really fully understood that. But we were really impressed by them, so we'd invite them around to our house. And I remember one guy, he used to always come up to us and he thought Weetabix were biscuits. And you just put butter on them and go on.
I've seen that.
That's very dry.
It's hot. You couldn't have many of those, or you'd need a big quantity of liquid.
He never came back. He would have just thought those Irish people are savages. No wonder there was a famine.
If only there'd been Weetabix around, then things, history could have been very different.
No, I think they find that exactly.
Because you think the Irish people would have just gone, sorry, there's no milk, we can't eat those Weetabix.
Well,
have to send them back.
What is it? Weetabix is kind of a maize, isn't it?
Wheat?
But the Abix thing?
I think it's mainly made out of wheat.
But what?
You might be thinking.
What's maize?
I think you're thinking of Maize Bix.
Yeah.
They're made out of. They're more corn based. Or corn.
But what?
Maize, I think you're thinking of.
Yeah, but so what
it's
is
a maize?
But that's quite like wheat, though, isn't it?
No, it's a very, very different thing.
Well, explain it to me then.
Wheat is a grass. And
I think you'll find your fucking... No.
The lie. And you pick
where
it on the top.
Where do you live?
Crush
what park
up,
do you
then
live
you make
right
Weetabix. And maize is also a kind of grass, but it's like corn. Corn on the cob. Am I correct, nerds? Lawyer, am I correct? Legally correct? I'm legally... A lawyer is great. Nuclear physicist, have I got the nuclear physicists? Yep, got that right.
So what? It's just corn wheat?
You know, like a corn on the cob? I don't know if you have those in Ireland.
Yeah. No, but it's always like whenever... Like, they're always... When Bob Geldof's giving food to Africa, it's always maize.
Right.
No, but they always go, we've got some maize for you. And they must be going, oh, fuck's sake, not maize again.
When are we going to get some Weetabix?
As you know, corn on the cob goes right through you as well.
It does.
See, like, they go, because corn on the cob
that's
is
the good thing about it as a famine food, because you can just... What are you thinking? I didn't say it. I don't know. If you've got any problem, it's your own dirty minds. Because it's just a very nutritious food, is what I was going to say. So if you thought anything different...
Yeah, come on.
You're the weird one here. Went before I said the bit about eating out of your own shit. So you thought... You can't have a go at me. You thought that. You disgust me.
Yeah, I can't continue.
Cool. cool. I'm going to ask you some emergency questions because I noticed a lull.
Right.
Just there, just for a second. We've done very well. I forgot to look what time we started, which is a problem I have with this.
It's a bit like Goodnight Sweetheart, isn't it?
It is. What would it take for you to fillet the actor Keith Allen? It's an oldie, but it's a goodie. It's from Alma. It's a cross because it's the end of the series.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive and June. Olive and June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive and June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive and June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, "What the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?" So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
That's from the Edinburgh Fringe podcast.
Keith Allen.
Yeah, the actor Keith Allen. What would you need in return for giving him oral sex?
Well, he frightens me a little bit. So
yeah, part of the reason. It's a good question. Yeah,
if he said, give me oral sex in a really rough manner, I might. Yeah. Just out of scare them.
Well, I'd like you to meet our other guest tonight. One word, should get Keith Allen, Nicholas Lindhurst. Justin Lee Collins.
I used to be frightened of Keith Allen, but you know, he was, when we, because with the Nevermind the Buzzcocks, great name, by the way. You don't forget
it is
shit
good.
Like
I've
that.
Thought of it. I've thought about it again.
But, you know, we had to pilot that. We weren't obviously just offered the things. We had to see. And he was one of the guys who was up for being one of the captains.
Who was he?
Yeah, because I remember doing a pilot with him.
Wow.
Yeah, I sucked his cock that day as well. But he asked. I think he did.
Talking of sucking cocks, yeah. Have you ever tried to suck your own cock, Sean?
Look, I'm sure I have, but, like, you know, gave up very quickly when I realised that you can't. But, yeah, and I think, I do remember, like, trying to, like, catch my own sperm.
Yeah.
Everyone's done that, come on.
In what, in the mitt?
No, in the mouth, just...
Successfully, did you hear?
Well, that's why I got thrown out of the gym. Well, he's trying his arse here, let me do my personal stuff. They call it madness.
As you get older, there's no chance of that happening. Do you find in your 40s, there's no... Like, I'm very lucky if my semen doesn't really even come out the end of my penis anymore. It's sort of like, you know, like the progress of a stalactite or a calcified... Well, It'll come out about 1 centimetre every 10,000 years.
Well,
it might hang on the edge of the of the herring's eye.
I don't want to do material, but in the new show I do talk about that because when I was a kid, like a lot, the thing is, as you know, when we were growing up, there was no internet, so people just told us stuff and we believed that shit. and my brother told me that you're going to be careful because you only have a certain amount of sperm.
Yeah.
And I believed that for a long time. And yeah. I'm not very sexual at the moment. And it's just that thing of... and I kind of go, well, obviously, physically, I haven't run out of sperm. But spiritually, I think I have. Because I've had sperm now in my body for 35 years.
Wow.
And yeah, thank you very much. So, like a wine now, we'd be talking vintage. Been keeping it there for quite a while, but it is that thing. Now I think my sperm realizes that I haven't procreated ever, so my sperm's going, "What's the fucking point?" that egg doesn't exist. What are you doing, Oliver? And I think they're kind of just sick of midair massacres, really. Yeah. I just went, "Oh, we're not bothering anymore."
It's a weird thing getting older.
I think it's fine. Why are you worried about it?
I'm not really... I'm kind of relieved, really, but it's kind of odd to lose that part of
your
life.
Did that thing of rushing into marriage recently, didn't you?
I did rush. I rushed in.
I was joking, but I seem to have hit some sort of nerve.
That's 44 years old when I got married, I think. I'd waited a little while. And
but
then.
Yeah, I quite like... I think I was born to be old. I never enjoyed my youth. Did you enjoy your youth?
No, not really. I kind of enjoyed being about 38 to 42.
Yeah, but
and then, you know, it's all been downhill from there.
Well, so you think there's a big difference between 38 and 40?
I think there is quite a big difference between... Because I was talking to Russell Brand about this, because he's still in his late 30s and he's still, you know...
Officially.
He's still putting it about a little bit, I would imagine.
Yeah.
And it's also quite I saw him trying to do it. I think when you get a bit... I don't know, maybe it's just... You know, it might be that I'm married and that I have different concerns.
But
I think maybe my body's just kind of gone, that's all right. It's kind of... It's the summertime and there are young people walking around who are attractive. And I look at them and I go, no.
But surely that's what you did in your 20s as well.
Thank God. What?
Surely that's what you did in your 20s as well.
Well, I did as well. Yeah, nothing happened then either. So there was a great period between about the age of 38 and 40 where I could have sex with people and then it's all gone.
But do you think it's that weird thing of at our age that if you're actually even caught looking at someone younger going, you disgust, you know, just for looking at people. Do you feel like, oh, I better not look at people now?
I don't. But I actually also think I don't care anymore as well. I think in the past, if you were walking on a beach and there were like naked women sunbathing, I'd go, ooh, and look away. Now I go, well, they're going to put it out there for free. I'm going to have a look.
You might come
and I don't care.
You used to, look away when you...
I'd be really embarrassed by the nudity and, you know, and it'd be an odd thing to see when you're young, isn't it?
But when you get older. You're like six?
26. Well, because you're worried about people. I think you're concerned that people might think you're a pervert if you look at an attractive person in the nude, which I would say that probably doesn't make you a pervert. I think that probably makes you a normal person. So you would look away. But now I just sort of think...
I think our generation is... Like, it's an odd generation because we're the kind of Peter Pan. We refuse to grow up. Like, look at us, the way we're dressed. We're not dressed as adults, you know, to be fair. And it is, you know, it is that thing of we just refuse to ever really take part in society as such.
Yeah, it's rubbish, isn't it? I should grow up. Why don't you grow up? What do you mean, no? Look at him. He's about 54 years old.
Because I still love practical jokes, which is a ridiculous thing at my age. But I still... last time I was on holiday, and you know when you're having a meal and there's a bit of a lull in the kind of... conversation, it wasn't really working out, and the guy came over, the swarthy guy, to sell you the roses, to guilt trip you to buy the roses. So I was with a girlfriend on holiday, and the guy came over and says, "Roses for the lady," and I just went, "No, it's okay, she's a prostitute." I thought that was really funny.
Did she find that amusing?
No, of course she didn't.
But enjoy it so much. But it was worth it for the laugh, though.
The fact that she didn't find it funny, I found hilarious.
You should meet my wife's like that. She doesn't like me making jokes like that. I love doing that. She doesn't find me funny at all.
But that wasn't funny, but I just couldn't resist doing that. I'll always do stuff like that. I just, like a real child. There's a little trick I learned recently, which is great. If you're in a car, if your partner's driving, because you know our phones are so cool now, just take a picture with the flash on. Just have it down like this. And just go, oh, fuck, camera's got you. It's just brilliant. Well, that's ruined the night, isn't it? That's 30 quid and 3 points. But honestly, that's a brilliant one to do. I love that. Another one I love doing in the car. But this is... I think it's funnier a 47-year-old guy doing it. Like, if you're 20, you just go, grow up. But when you're 47, it's hilarious. And the other thing I love doing is when if you're driving your car and you're in traffic lights, just wind down the window over there, because they'll look over, and then the guy who's in the next car will assume they want to talk to them. And they're like, and they do that. You go, what? That's just really funny. Sorry, I love it.
Talking of practical jokes and party tricks, we were backstage with Izzy Sooty, who's been hanging around for a week.
I know, yeah.
You were claiming you could put out more matches in your mouth than she can.
Yeah, it's very...
Which I think might make this a regular... Well, I'd see who can do the most. So I think, hold on, there's some more.
I've had some matches.
Right, you won't have to go to the gym this week, will you? All that walking.
I've already been today. I've done 15 minutes running and 45 minutes cycling at the gym today. I'm laughing at me, yeah, gold. The only person laughing is the gold medal winner, because he's going, yeah, I do that before breakfast. Everyone else is really impressed.
What did you win the gold medal for?
I don't know, I'm sorry. He's just a strange
charming.
For wanking and sucking his own cock.
I can do them all.
You can do them all?
Yeah, no problem.
We have to count them for the record.
Yeah, okay.
We have three, seven. This is like, this could be reviewed. This program is like watching someone count matches. I've lost count as well by talking.
After this, I'll tell you my Paralympian story, which I really like. if I'm still alive.
Let's hope you die. Before we get to that.
Let's do... I'll just do 20, though.
There's 24 there.
Okay.
This will double the record set by Izzy Sooty. Oh, some of them are upside down.
Yeah, for fuck's sake.
If you double it every time, you're
going to
be in trouble.
We are. Exponential mathematics there, sir. That is sick. If we double it every time, we'll be in trouble. Well, buy my DVD, What Is Love Anyway, to find out the... terrible consequences of exponential mathematics. And Sean Hughes is preparing for those only cheap enough to listen to this in audio. He's preparing the 24 matches. He's taken the box. He has struck. The matches have flared up. Oh, yeah, it hasn't gone out. Oh, I don't know if it counts. 24 matches. He went in. He showed that there wasn't some magic match put around there. Mango.
No, but it's just simple mathematics. So once they go into your mouth, no matter how big the flame is, the oxygen kills the flame, so it doesn't hurt.
Don't ruin the magical illusion for the little kiddie winks. It would be quite a good thing to do if you had just farted, because that gets rid of the smell of a fart, doesn't it? So you could do 24 matches at once. And that will destroy it all. Oh, I've lost my book. I don't know what to ask you now.
I just wanted to say, because with Ireland in the Olympics, we were so bad. Ireland won one medal in the Olympics, and that's for a little girl punching people in the face. And she now does the tourist ad for Ireland. Come to Ireland. You're not leaving. But then in the Paralympics, we had this guy, he won the Jason something or other, and he won the 100 and the 200 metres. Are you aware of this guy?
They don't all know each other because they got gold medals.
But he might be slightly interested in sport, is what I'm saying.
Do you know the guy he's talking about? Oscar Pistorius, I think he's called.
What happened to him?
The advert for the tourism in South Africa is a lot worse. That's what I was...
But the thing is, he won the 100 metres in like something like 10.2 seconds, which is like 0.3 off the world record. And because basically, I was embarrassed because like it was really bad, because there was nothing wrong with the guy. He had a wonky eye. And he's like that guy, I'm ready to go. And like people in wheelchairs coming back 2 minutes later, and he's going, yeah, he's in lapse of honour. And and then I talked about this on Irish television on the Late Late Show, and I did it. And then, of course, this is what I love about... the reason I love Ireland, can never live there ever again, is... the Irish Star the next day were up in arms with me slagging off our hero and insisted that we race each other for charity. Yeah, that's a fair race, all right. It was wonky. I go, because even when he won it in 10.3, he still had the cheek to do an interview. I was just going, oh, it was a tight one there. Like I nearly went into the other lane there with the wonky eye.
So
See, he'll be telling all of it. I'll be asked to do corporate stuff for sports now. Luckily, I don't do corporate because I've got a soul, but, you know, they'll be asking.
So, look, this is what I did want to ask you about. We must get this in before it's too late. There's loads of things, actually. But you knew Bill. You were friends with Bill Hicks.
Yeah,
or you knew Bill Hicks.
Well, yeah, I kind of I was touring Australia. I was doing the Melbourne Festival years ago, and he was over there. And it was that time there was a lot of Americans coming over, and they were pretty bad. They were doing that. Hey, where are you from? Hey, my kind of town. There's a lot of that kind of cabaret kind of stuff happening. And there was no one going to see Bill. Nobody knew who he was. And we had the same promoter. He said, go in and see him. And it was like, it was really, there was only about 50 people in, and the room had been papered just to get a crowd in. So I went in and I wasn't expecting much. And I just, the second I saw him, I just went, oh God, he's amazing. Because his opening line, and bearing in mind that most comics truly want people to love them the second they go on, and his opening line was, you know, to go out with a comedian takes a very special lady or a bunch of average ones. How you doing? And I don't think it was a brilliant joke, but why he was like, he was alienating half the audience straight away. And I love the fact that he went, oh, when he was back. And I just thought he was masterful, I really did. And so we just hung out for a couple of weeks that time. And actually, in reflection, that's when he had cancer, but he didn't realise he had it.
Oh, God, yeah.
But, yeah, he was taken way too young. It would be quite interesting to see what he'd be talking about now. Because it's still, comedy is such a powerful kind of instrument. There's still so few people using it properly. It's ridiculous.
Mm. You said about him that being a genius is a heavy burden. He's the only one I'm likely to meet. So, well, at least I've proven that wrong.
Well, yeah, like, you know, he's a good night sweetheart stuff was shit compared to yours.
He hadn't thought it through at all.
Yeah, no. Yeah, absolutely. Well, yeah, but genius, that word does get bandied around too much, though, doesn't it?
I guess he's one that keeps coming back to. There are only, like, you know, you talk about Spike Milligan and Peter Cook and Bill
Hicks.
Who
would be the person that you met that you... Was so
I don't know, I've never
meet
them. You know, I guess I was in Edinburgh at the same time as Bill Hicks, and I never, you know.
But just
I keep missing it. I don't. You know, Stuart Lee, isn't it? That's the best I can do. He's tried to wank me off with a ventriloquist dummy. So, did Bill Hicks ever try and sexually assault you? No, he didn't. So fuck
no,
off.
Stuart did though. well, you know, like, no, he was great actually. I think this is a. I think the only thing I've ever liked about fame is I've got to meet some people who are big heroes of mine, and you're seeing it when you meet them. It's like, you know, there's an equality there. It's great. Like, and it's weird meeting the likes of Morrissey and stuff. Like, you know, that's that's the only time I've been really starstruck, and it was really weird. First time I met him was walking down Camden Road, and we were both aware of each other, but we'd never met. And he was with Stephen Street, his record producer. They were doing whatever they were doing at the time. So we just stopped in the middle of the street, and he says, it was really awkward, oh, hi. And I was kind of shaking like that at that time. It kind of as shook up as you were in the gym.
Yeah.
You know? Said, Morrissey, get your cock out. I want to know how Richard was feeling. And so we went for a meal, we went for a drink. And Morrissey, like, considering he's supposed to be such a witty guy, he just said this really shit line. We got to the bar and he went, I'll get the drinks in, I'm the richest. You're a bit of a letdown in real life. But I did that classic thing of because I love them so much, I ended up talking to Stephen Street, who was married to Kirsten McCullough. He had been, and they just got divorced 6 weeks earlier, which I wasn't aware of. So I was just doing that classic thing, you know, that you do as a teenager, to boys do to girls, just ignore the one you love. And I was doing that to myself. I was ignoring the one I love and talking shit to Stephen. And I just remember saying, like, he was saying, like, I said, how's Kirsten? He says, it's her birthday today, and I wasn't invited. And I swear, I just said to Morrissey, any plans to get married yourself, Morrissey? And I think he just said again, I'm the richest, I get the drinks. Did you not hear me the first time?
Yeah, I tend not to meet people. The only place I make famous people is here, talking and sitting in that chair. So, on other weeks. So, it's...
But, do you know the... Because I'm a big fan of the Bonnie Prince Billy. Do you know that singer?
No.
Do you guys know Bonnie Prince Billy?
No, new Schmoo. Yeah. Too many people know him.
So seriously, he did the theme to that. But if you don't know, there's a song called I See a Darkness, which Johnny Cash covered. But if you the iPod generation, just download it. It's just the best song ever. But I remember I used to do a radio show for Great London Radio, and we used to have people like him in every week. And he sang to me this close. He sang that song, I See a Darkness. And I did my research, and I realised the night before he'd just done a gig where he'd handed out hymn sheet, so he got people to sing hymns to him. And the rule in broadcasting is, if, especially in that radio station, if someone swears, they're off the air straight away. I was having the best time of my life, and I just said, so, Billy, you had people singing hymns back to you last night. What was that like? He went, fucking awesome! And thank you very much. That's the end of the show. And I was just so annoyed that, you know, I just love that, especially, like, my passion probably more than comedy is music, so just meeting a lot of those people was just amazing.
You met the lead singer of Right Said Fred, didn't you?
A lot of times. Yeah. He seems to be the co-captain on the Buzzcocks.
I watched the first episode of Nevermind the Buzzcocks.
Right.
Just for, as a research.
Was he on it?
He was on the first one.
Right.
You and him and I can't remember who the other one on your team
Phil
was.
Phil Jupitus.
Phil Jupitus was on it. He's been on all of them.
I know. Yeah.
And the drummer from Dodgy was on. What I quite like about, especially watching old episodes of the Buzzcocks, is the kind of lack of self-awareness of everyone on it. Because there's that round where they have to, you're sort of laughing at the fact that someone who was once famous is now forgotten.
I know,
but then if you watch old episodes of Nevermind the Buzzcocks, that's basically 50% of the people on it.
I could probably go on the next series of that. In the,
one of these guys
where are they
was
now? I used to sit there. Because that was the only one that was truly improvised, so I used to really enjoy that round. But it was that ridiculous thing, like, they're paid extras, like, the people who, like, do extra work, and they get paid something like 40 quid, but they know, like, you're just going to stand there and people are going to take the piss out of you. But honest to God, like, you know, you'd meet someone afterwards and they'd say, if I ever meet you, I'm going to fucking put you in the lights out. It's just ridiculous. Like, they're really scary people, like, you know. But also, I don't know if you're aware, one episode where we had Jar Wobble on, and he was, I was the one who asked to get him in. Jar Wobble was in Pill, he was an old punk, and I used to love all my punk, and I got him in, and beforehand, during the day, we all meet around 3 o'clock, and we go over the rounds, and then we have a bit of supper beforehand. And I'm chatting away to him, and then, because I cannot stand violence, and I know there's a famous story where him and Sid Vicious had hit a very famous journalist, I think Nick Kent, in the face with a bicycle chain.
Yes.
At a you know, an early Pistols gig. And I just said, why did you do that? And he got really upset about that and then started swearing and getting really arsy.
Right.
And he said, you don't be so snidey to me. And I said, he said, if you say another word, I'm going to punch you in the face. And I said, I think we're all a bit more grown up than that. And he slapped me across the face. And I had to do the show with them, right? They said, do you want him off? And I said, oh, just don't bother, let's do it. But I remember, because Jo Brand, the psychiatric nurse, and she keeps on apologising for not doing anything that day. And, like, you know, we were just there that night, and he was by my side, just kind of going, you know, just, that was one of the most
awful
things.
Did you have to do the intros round with him? Was he guessing, or were you singing with him?
I just had to do, I had to sing with him and everything, just the whole thing. It was a horrible night, actually, because violence just really disturbs me.
Yeah.
Have you ever been hit?
A few times.
It sounded like it was going to be a song. Yeah, a few times.
The last time I had a fight was when just before I turned 40, and it was at the end of one of my tours. I did a big routine about this, but it was I'd finished the tour, and I'd met, very unusually, some girls from the gig had wanted to go to the bar with me and was getting on well with these girls. And then this guy came and sat down at the table, and they were all very affable, but he was a bit drunk. And they were chatting away, but then he took exception to one of the things one of the girls had said and tried to kick her in the head. Which luckily he missed, but I felt that was unacceptable. She hadn't done anything that bad. And so all his friends dragged him out of the bar. But then he waited outside the bar for us to come out, and he sort of went for the girls again, and I kind of said, you know, get back. And then he said, you're a cunt as well, and tried to punch me in the head. And then I never do this, I would always walk away, and I wasn't even that drunk, but I kind of had a fight with him. But he was a university lecturer. And we had this kind of ridiculous fight where I ended up getting my shirt ripped, but we hardly punched. I got one good punch in, which felt amazing. I've never punched anyone really. Felt amazing, but we just basically did all this windmilling and missing each other. And then he dragged away, and the police arrived, and they said, "Do you want us to charge him?" And I said, "No." And then I was really humiliated because I've been getting on board with these girls and had my shirt ripped. And I just got in a cab, said, "I'm going to go." And they were going, "Oh, don't go now." And I'm going. Got in this cab, and the taxi driver had been on the rank and seen the whole thing in Liverpool said, "That was the funniest fight I've ever seen."
That's probably why I've never had a fight. I've been so bad.
So I've been, you know, there's been a couple of these, but I've always just had those kind of useless, you know.
Because you probably, same as me, you get a lot of that, or you're a bit cheeky, how many times have people slapped you in the face?
Yeah.
But, you know, it just doesn't happen really.
No, it doesn't really happen. But I was thinking about the other day, because when you were young, you used to fear that. If you were out on the streets and you were 20, you were worried that some guy would just take obsession to you, even though it didn't really happen, just punch you in the face. But once you get to 40, you kind of don't worry. You're sort of
the worry invisible. Now is I always worry. The only thing I worry about is like a bunch of 12-year-olds beat me up because I know they're well capable of doing it, and that'll be humiliating. Like, you know, but if you were 12 at the time, you go, "That's power." But in the '70s, people used to just punch you around the place anyway all the time. Things have so changed now.
Well, it's very violent. It was very violent around the punk movement, wasn't it? Because they were getting beaten up themselves, weren't they?
But I don't think it was to do with punk or politics. It was just like, you know, in the '70s, people used to slap each other around the face.
Well, they didn't like if you were different. You know, if you did anything weird, so. So things have changed, have gone on a long way, really, from there. Because
you'd hope
Johnny
so,
Rotten used to get just beaten up in the street all the time.
Yeah, but he still, wasn't it like some Goths murdered a couple of years ago for no reason as well?
Yeah, that's true.
So it still happens.
No, of course it does, yeah. And Muslims as well look different to some people than they are attacked.
Seriously? Yeah. What do they look like? I've never seen them.
I don't know. They're in disguise a lot of the time, so you can't really see them. There
let's
we
are.
I haven't asked you... Have you ever thought about joining the English Defence League? I was just trying out a little, but the little taster question, you see, didn't go, "Hold on, I'm going to stand up to that." So
no, the weird thing is, like, when I was growing up in Ireland, one of my musical heroes was, I always really liked really posh English guys, and for some reason, Julian Cope was always, like, you know, and this is the time when, like, there was a lot of beef between our two countries, so we were supposed to despise everything that was British. And I was the one in my dressing room at home. "Where are you going?"
He's going to make a bomb. He's off to make a nuclear bomb to end all of this. He can do it. "Didn't you have enough walking on the Great Wall of China?"
But
he's going to find another wall. "I've fed up with this. Get on a wall."
"You didn't even bring this with you." But I've always liked really oddly very British things, actually.
Yeah.
Like Oscar Wilde, who is Irish as well. He's the most...
Are you saying you were like Oscar Wilde or that you like Oscar Wilde?
No,
I'm very like Oscar Wilde.
I'm very like Oscar Wilde, weight-wise now. Have you seen his... Because I was in Paris last week and I did the whole... I like going to the cemeteries. Because they've got all these covered up now, so people can't kiss it anymore. But my favourite one is Samuel Beckett's buried in Paris. And it quite literally just goes, "Samuel Beckett and the year."
Yeah.
And it takes you fucking ages to find it. Because there's no flowers or anything.
Didn't someone break... There's a sphinx on Oscar Wilde's grave. And someone broke something. I think like there was genitals on it. And someone broke off the... penis off the sphinx. Am I right? Anyone know if that's correct? Yes, there you go. Wikipedia. I've been reading a lot about death. I've never been to that particular graveyard. But,
well, because no,
Jim Morrison's there.
Yeah, there was so a couple of German Depeche Mode fans having a little visual by. Honestly, it was just, and they'd kind of gotten a little car word love, and took a picture of themselves by Jim Morrison. Just grow up, you fucking idiots. But Edith Piatta's there as well, by her real name as well.
What's her real name?
I've forgotten. It's just not Edith. What's the Piatta name? Does anyone know?
She's forgotten.
Yeah,
she's Little Sparrow anyway. But what I love about Oscar Wilde is the Irish government have put a protection thing on and just saying, you know, just protect the memory of Oscar Wilde. And I'm thinking, God, you did nothing for him when he was alive. How dare you do it now?
It's not the same people. Wow.
It's a very
big
old
time
bloke.
Lords.
Very old bloke.
I've got
Weedabix.
I can't go to this, finish the series without asking you this very important question, which may never be asked again. Probably will be. If you had to choose between having a hand made out of ham... You all right?
Yep.
He's quick, but he can't be that quick. Does that do it? I guess the nuclear fusion could...
Who's been eating mango?
It smells worse than shit.
I know.
It's just... I think I might have to shit on the stage in order to get rid of the... Which is a callback to last week. And then get some people to sing some Queen songs on the other side of it. But, would you... Thank you. Callback. If you had to choose between having a hand made out of ham... Or an armpit that dispensed sun cream. I've got, like, really chemical mango in the back of my throat. I've never had to ask this question with chemical mango attacking my vocal cords.
That's what the Americans
used to... I feel, like, slightly nauseous. It'd be quite a good end to the season if I asked that question and just threw up on you. If you had to choose to having a handmade ham, I feel really sick. Or it's like you with cheese. Yeah, I found the one thing I'm allergic to. The one thing that can kill me. This is my kryptonite. Mango mist.
Well, I'm...
Handmade of ham or... You can ask some other questions if you don't think you've had enough information.
Well, no, it's... Well, I'm vegetarian, so I don't really want meat anywhere near me.
You
really
could feed other people with the handmade out of ham.
Yeah, but I don't really... I don't, like...
Then it wouldn't be... You wouldn't be killing any animals.
And I don't push my principles onto other people, but I still would rather people didn't eat.
Nothing's died. Nothing's died for it.
I think you find they did. You're just being kind
of... I'm not. Your hand would grow ham. No, Anna, it's not like someone comes in and says, right, we got some ham off a pig. Let's craft that into a hand. That would be a ridiculous situation. It's a situation where your hand would just transform into ham. No animal would be killed. It would be your own hand if you ever bite your own fingernails.
Is this an episode of Goodbye Sweetheart? So, you're being naive. Of course it comes from a pig.
I'm not being naive. I know what happens to that ham, and that ham... What? Don't ever accuse me of being naive. Especially when it comes to hands made out of ham. No one has thought about this as much as I have.
But no, I'm not buying the... Just
you don't have to buy them, it's free. It just would be automatically... be just hand. And if you ate a bit, or if you feel queasy about eating ham that is your own human flesh, then you could just feed some poor children with it.
I'd rather give them
or
maize.
Some dogs or something. Give them maize.
Yeah. You could change the question to something
I can't
else.
Change the question. That is the seminal. That is the question that made Stephen Fry admit that he tried to kill himself. That is.
How did that come
eventually
about?
No, you're right.
How did you get that out of him, though?
I asked a Welsh child.
Hey, Steve, ever tried to kill yourself?
I've tried that since. Yes. It doesn't work so well. A Welsh child. I'll ask you a version of the question that Ben Evans asked. 12-year-old question. What is it like being Sean Hughes? Let's watch it. The fuse has been lit.
Freaky.
See that ham would put out because it's slightly damp, isn't it? It's got that kind of
stone scissors ham. That's a new game, isn't it?
Yeah.
I think it's
just for the completists, it's an armpit of sun cream then that you're going for. Because there's people who'll be putting that up on a website. We don't want to get to no answer because that would be embarrassing. Answer given.
All right.
We'll go back to what's it like being Sean Hughes in a second.
It's very much like both questions are quite similar.
So it's like having a handmade it.
Well, it's like being
you
asked
don't
that
want.
Over and over. My life is like someone coming up to me who I quite like coming up to me going, "What would you rather?" Made out of ham. But see, the thing is also the thing about armpits is that's where your actual proper smell comes. Your wife probably fell in love first with that smell.
Yeah.
So no, but that is true. Like that's where you that is your proper smell, and that's what makes you an individual. So it's kind of
my wife
smell
actually
quite mangoey, mate.
Yeah. My wife, the top of her head smelled so nice. When I first met her, it doesn't smell like it anymore.
Well, what does it smell like?
It just smells so good. No, before... before that.
Cheers, love. That was lovely.
My sperm is still creeping towards that. You'll have to come back in 10,000 years' time, and then the sperm will have reached her head.
Was it a shampoo, though?
No, it just... It was, there was a real... Whenever I smelt the top of her head, there was just a real... You know, just like a pheromone smell that sort of just was just gorgeous.
And you couldn't really describe it to us
No,
at all.
Not really.
Not very helpful.
No. But you'll know, when you smell... When you smell the top of a woman's head, it's a bit like the Cinderella story, except Prince Charming's going around sniffing people. Can I sniff you a second? If you just go around sniffing women in the head, and then when you go, hey, that's a nice smell, I'm going with this one. That's nature at work.
Well, but you're, I want armpits to have natural smells, so you're going to have... Well, like...
But it'd be, but no, you know, it's not like... It would smell of sun cream. There would be a
valve.
Yes,
it would. It would
be a valve. It would be, that would probably...
A valve? You never mentioned a valve.
You didn't ask. You didn't know, but other people say...
How many times have you asked this question? You haven't even thought it through.
I have. Other people say, how does the sun cream get distributed? How is it encased in the armpit? There's a valve like in a... You know, when you blow up a rubber ring that you go in the swimming pool with, and then you push...
You couldn't have said a balloon. You couldn't have said a balloon.
No, because it isn't like a balloon. It's like in a rubber ring where you blow up and then the thing sticks out, but you push it back into the balloon so it doesn't stick out. And then the skin closes over that and grows over it until you want it again, when you just sort of peel it apart and then pull out the stop and then obviously that is what happens.
Right.
But if you need that explained to you, then happens.
Yeah.
So your armpit would still smell of you.
Right. So,
and also your other armpit would still smell of you.
That's
so if you're trying to get off with people, just put that armpit up to them. Go have a sniff in there, and then do you want to go on holiday?
Well, you've absolutely sold it to me now, without a shadow of a doubt.
Okay, good. So armpit, sun cream for Sean Hughes, for the man compiling.
And so what?
That
so
website.
So it just someone says
you can have like, you can't have unlimited. You're not like magic.
Right. It's not like
a sun cream genie. You can. Right. You choose someone at the beginning when it gets.
So it's going to be an empty canister in your body for the rest of your life.
No, it's like in a gland or something. But it's like a gland would produce sun cream. Oh, but you have to choose the factor at the beginning. You can't change factors.
Yeah, but no. But if the gland's producing it, why is the gland all of a sudden not producing?
Because they only at work. Because the glands don't, as you've discovered, don't produce an endless supply of stuff. It takes in the gland of your testicles. If you kept on wanking off, you wouldn't just be able to get spunk coming out all the time. Eventually dust and stuff comes out at the end, and you have to have a little rest.
But
the next day it comes out again.
So
the same. So you get enough to get, you know, a couple of bottles a year, I reckon you'd get out of there. I'm estimating. I don't know. I haven't done a scientific survey. What size of bottle? The medium sort of size bottle. That which costs about still 25 quid for just like the not the big one, not the little tiny one.
It's like 50 quid there all the time.
Yeah, 50 quid a year. Yeah, it's like.
But the ham is endless.
Is it endless?
The ham is endless.
Well, the ham, if you eat it, it'll take some time to grow back as well. It's like nature, it's not magic.
All right, okay. I thought it was more magic.
No, there's no magic involved in this.
Okay.
It's nature. It's nothing more natural in this world than a man with either. You can't have never, there's never been someone with both, and that will never happen. It's either a hand made of ham or an armpit. What is it like being Sean Hughes?
Just like I take each day as it comes, really. Sometimes it's fine, sometimes it's not so fine.
Yeah, and then tell us more about the not fine.
Well,
they're not so fine. Don't
was the time I tried to kill myself. I decided I was going to put my head in an oven and I was going to go through with it. And then I had my head in the oven and then I went, God, it smells of chips. And I thought, I'll just have some chips before I die. And I just kept on looking for excuses and I'm still smelling chips, basically. So that's what it's like being me. It's just smell chips every so often.
No,
I think life's all right.
Not as good as Stephen Fry's.
Yeah, well,
it's not as good, not as likely to get me on the telly. That is, you say you know a lot of things, and that makes you a good guest because you know stuff. But do you know this? How many different chemicals are there in a carrot? How many different chemicals are there in a carrot? How many chemicals
in a carrot?
In a carrot.
Does a carrot dispense ham?
No, it's a regular. This is just a regular question about a carrot. If you don't know the answer,
in the carrot oil, what's been sprayed on it?
And there's no on the natural carrot. How many chemicals are in? How many chemicals make up a carrot? Yeah, you're made of chemicals.
The tip of the carrot is overground, so it can have other chemicals in it just from the way we pollute the air.
This is an organically grown carrot.
Yeah, but it's still, the tip of it.
You don't know the answer, do you? You don't. No, you're trying to pay course, for time while you're trying to.
Of course, I don't know the answer. I'm not Googling. Pretending.
But if you don't know that, then how can we listen to anything else you say?
No, that's a very valid point.
Thank you.
What is the answer?
Discount. Don't know. Can't really listen to the answer.
Is it
John Lloyd just asked me, and I said, I said one. He said, no, it's not one. It's loads more than that. And so then that was his argument as to why he didn't have to listen to any of my arguments about why there wasn't a God and stuff, because I didn't even know how many chemicals there were in a carrot, and that is the question.
So you got to talk to, he got to talk to you about God, and I get to talk to you about goodbye, sweetheart, yeah. Whatever it's called.
Good night, sweetheart. Yeah. Fucking hell.
I was just thinking that would be the name of your one. Goodbye,
at least,
sweetheart.
At least listen if you're going to come on the show.
I will. I'll try.
It's good. We've nearly. Can you? Have you brought your guitar along to sing?
Okay. Gonna sing a song in Irish.
Yeah.
Actually, I one place I played last year, which I've never played before, is Lincoln. Have you ever played there?
I have played Lincoln.
It's fucking weird, isn't it?
There's some weirdness.
Yeah. I had two guys sit in the front of the show all the way through, just going, "Oh, this is fucking..." Not heckling, but just going, "It's fucking..." And I thought, because it's an interval, I thought they're leaving the interval, and and it's kind of slightly upsetting, but they're waiting for the whole second half. Oh, gee, this is fucking... Oh, fucking... For the whole thing, and then at the end, didn't applaud, just when everyone else went, "Hey!" That's always. But why I wanted to mention Lincoln is because this is how my brain works. This is what it's like to be Sean. You said, "What's it like to be me?" And then no, you didn't. What you said is, "Have I got my guitar?"
Yeah.
And I immediately thought of when I was listening to last week's podcast. Yeah. How you said that to Izzy, yeah. and how she started singing that song in Welsh, yeah. And I thought, oh, I'll do it in Irish. So that's how my brain worked. Yeah, and then my brain went to, oh, I'll tell you a story about Lincoln Prison.
Yeah.
Which is to do with the Irish language, and it's because our first Taoiseach, which is Prime Minister, was Éamon de Valera, and he was in prison in Lincoln Prison just in the 1920s, so it's still a working prison now. And when I found this out, I just went, oh my god, because I asked people on Twitter, what should I do in Lincoln? They said that's where Éamon de Valera was, so I went there. And the first time, I'm just outside going, oh my god, it's amazing. This one. And the security guy's going, sorry mate, what are you doing? I'm just going, this is amazing, isn't it? And I think I'm trying to get someone out. And then I kind of, it must have looked a bit weird, just a guy getting very excited outside this prison. And there was no one waiting to come out. And so, but then I found out how he escaped, bizarrely, quite literally was the key in a cake, which you think is just bullshit. But that's how they did it. But how they got the instructions in is a load of Irish people used to wait outside the prison wall and sing songs in Irish, so the English guards were just going to have a load of piss heads, but they were actually giving them the instructions in Irish. They're going, and the key will be in the cake, oh, the cake, and cake, under the icing, the key will be, the key will be in the cake. And so what an amazing bit of history Lincoln has. So there's my song to finish.
That was lovely. That was beautiful. Ladies and gentlemen, Sean Hughes.
Cheers. Thank you. Cheers. Thank you. Thank you.
You've been listening to Richard Herring's Leicester Square Theatre podcast with me, Richard Herring, and my guest, Sean Hughes. The music you're listening to was by Pest. Why don't you buy their album from the internet? I expect you can do that. Yeah, thank you very much to Orange Mark, everyone at the British Comedy Guide, and Aaron. Orange Aaron doesn't get any orange at the British Comedy Guide for putting all this up on the internet for us. Thanks to Chris Evans, not that one, or the one from the Avengers. It's just the Welsh one. Yeah, he is with his team at Go Faster Strike, who have filmed it. You can get that from gofasterstrike.com/podcasts. It was produced by Ben Walker, who produces Do the Right Thing and Pappy's Flash Air Slam. Now, why don't you listen to those on the internet as well? Catch up, there's some great stuff there. And it is a Sky Potato Fuzz and Go Faster Strike production. How do you like them Sky Potatoes? Not very much. I prefer Earth Potatoes. That
thank you. That's the end of the series. I hope you've enjoyed those 15 hours of free podcast, you cheap fuckers. Why don't you buy something? Why don't you? You haven't bought anything. What's wrong with you? Go and buy some stuff to make up for all the work we've put into this. Go to GoFasterStripe.com where you can get video versions of all these podcasts or my DVDs of all my other live shows. Talking Cock will be out very soon. The brand new DVD. You can also get my books there. You can get tickets to my Edinburgh show, We're All Going to Die, from Pleasance.co.uk. That will be 8 o'clock every night at the Pleasance Beyond during the Edinburgh Fringe. I'm also doing Richard Herring's Edinburgh Fringe podcast every day except the 12th at Stand One at 2:10 p.m. My producer Ben will be producing Do the Right Thing, which is at the Pleasance for 4 days during the festival. Go to pleasance.co.uk to find out what those 4 dates are, and then go and see it because it is good. Or just spread the word about all this stuff to your friends. We're going to be back in September with some more. We've got some very exciting guests already penciled in, so do listen in if you can, and thank you very much for your support. We're going to miss you. Have a good summer.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Bowl and Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Bowl and Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bowlandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Thanks for listening. RichardHerring.com/gigs. GoFasterStripe.com for all my books, downloads, all that sort of shizzle. Oh, yeah, I know all the cool words. And would love to see you on the Can I Have My Ball Back tour if you can make it. Bye.